Yes, today's Bible passage is in Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Lisa, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks for reading. Let me have my welcome to classes. It's great to see you, to be with you tonight, to sing with you. I hope, however you have spent the last few weeks, it's been a good break for you, that you've rejoiced in the gift of Christmas. As we step into 2024, and as we step into the sermon, let me pray. That's a good thing to do at the beginning. Father, we have just sung, one with himself, I cannot die. That our lives are hid safe with Christ on high. Now, these are truths that are so profound, so deep, and so hard for us to grasp sometimes. And so, Lord, we ask that you would indeed open the eyes of our hearts now, that we would see you shining in the light of your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder what your hopes are for this coming year as we look forward to 2024. Particularly if you're a Christian, what are your hopes for your walk with Jesus Christ? Maybe you want more of him in 2024. You've tasted joy in the past that he offers, and you want more. You want to rediscover that, or you want to recover it. How do you get more of that? Maybe the last few weeks you felt a bit flat, a bit dry. Christmas has been a bit of a nightmare. You felt far from the Lord, like you're in a spiritual wasteland. Maybe you're after a fresh start. Maybe you've really been struggling with temptation over the last however long. You've stumbled into sin over and over, and it's beginning to weigh you down. You long for a fresh start. Maybe things are going pretty well for you at the moment. You really want to keep that going. You want 2024 to be a year where you say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. I want to honour him. You long to hear those glorious words at the end. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know if it's too late to make a New Year's resolution. Let's go with a new Sunday resolution or a resolution for the week commencing. The 15th of... No, where are we? 7th, 6th, 8th. Who knows? Beginning of January. Colossians 3 verse 1, I think, would make a pretty great one. Have a look down. Paul writes, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It's a really simple point for us tonight. Christian, your life is hid with Christ. Hidden with Christ, in Christ, with Christ. So set your mind on him. Your life is with Christ. Set your life on Christ. Set your mind on him. One wonderful truth, profound implication that affects everything you do, every thought and word, every ambition, every relationship, your whole being, every single day of 2024, every day that you journey through this world. Your life is with Christ. If you prayed those words of confession earlier, if you are trusting Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord, as your Savior, your life is hidden with Christ. It is with Christ. I wonder what words, if you've got a Facebook or a Twitter or an Instagram account or TikTok or whatever it might be, what words you use to define yourself. A student, Leipziger, a fitness freak, not me, a medic, a survivor maybe, dog lover, cat lover, guinea pig lover, food lover. What about with Christ? Your life is with Christ, united to Christ. What happens to him happens to you. Hard to find an illustration that begins to do this justice. When it was first explained to me, I was told it's like a plane that you get inside. Now, what happens to the plane happens to everyone inside the plane. You and I are in Christ. What happens to him happens to us. He takes us, hopefully, well, he does. He takes us where he goes, safely to our destination. It's a helpful picture, but it is so much stronger than that. Far greater than just being carried by him. Maybe you want to think of a tree. There's a massive tree. We live a couple of doors down. There's a massive tree in our garden. When we first moved in, I noticed we started to get pears, but it's far too big to be a pear tree, and realized these branches have been grafted in to this tree. It's a giant thing. But at some point, someone grafted these branches into this tree. They are now part of this tree, intertwined with this tree. When the tree gets sick, the fruit gets sick, the branches get sick. Or think of a baby in its mother's womb. The baby lives because the mum lives. The baby feeds through the mother. The baby can only breathe because the mother breathes. She breathes for the baby. But it's even more than that. Have a look down at verse 4. Colossians 3, verse 4. Paul says, Christ is your life. Your life is with Christ. Paul draws out three aspects of that for us that we're going to look at. Number one, you have died with Christ. If you're a Christian, we say Jesus has died for me. He died in my place. His death, look across to chapter 2, verse 14. His death for me cancelled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. It's got set aside. It was nailed to the cross. We are looking at remortgaging our house at the moment. It's a bit of a scary thing given interest rates are not quite as high as they were, but they're higher than I'd like them to be. We have a debt that we can't repay, sadly. But here is a far greater debt that we can never repay. A debt that you and I have that was wonderfully satisfied at a point in time by nothing less than the death of Jesus Christ. The wanted poster is torn down. The arrest warrant is ripped up. It's a substitution. His death is your death for you in your place. It is penal. He pays the penalty for every sin that is past, every sin that is present, every future sin. There is nothing more for you to do. Nothing more to be paid. No claim that can or ever will be dragged out. No judicial review. It is dealt with, done, finished. His death was atoning. It washes you so that you stand clean, justified before him. A legal declaration happens once, echoes down through eternity. You died with Christ. Jesus' death is all of those things. It means that you and I tonight can approach the very throne of God with utter confidence, free from fear, because the ruler of all rulers has removed the charges against us, has defeated those who would bring them against us, done it all at the cross in his death. But again, there is more for us to say. Verse 3, Paul says, you have died with Christ. You've got a new relationship to sin. It is no longer part of who you are. We've been set free from the power of sin, such a fundamental break that Paul says we're dead to it. Now, the presence of sin may weigh heavily on you, but if you are a Christian, it has been dealt with. You have a clean slate as we start this new year. And one day it will be taken away forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You've died with Christ. It means a new relationship with the world and its religion and its rules. They don't make us right before God. Paul has spent a whole chapter talking about that just before this. Only Jesus can do that. The old is over. We don't need it. We died with Christ. There is nothing more to do, nothing more that you need. All through being united with him. Your life is with Christ. You've died with him. Secondly, you've been raised with him. It's been a lifelong ambition. I'm not sure if I'll ever bother getting it realized, so I don't know how much of ambition it is. But I want to ride in a hot air balloon one day. You just step in and they go up, right? As I understand. You're lifted up high above the earth. When you became a Christian, you were raised with Christ. Not just physically lifted up, but new life, made new. We've been looking at John's Gospel last year and on a Sunday morning. John 5, verse 24, Jesus says, when you trust in him, you have passed from death to life. Now, your life is with Jesus, in Jesus, united to Jesus, bought by his blood, sealed with his spirit. Christ is the source of this new life. It is yours through your union with him. You don't need to try and make it happen. Don't need to try and bring it about. You already have it. Nothing can take it away, because the Lord of life gives it to you. That is what God does. He gives life. He makes the dead come to life, eternal life. Basking in his presence forever, safe, secure, every blessing that is his given to you. Your life is with Christ. Christian, you have died with him. You've been raised with him. Your life is hidden with him. We have a birthday coming up in our house this week, and one of our the birthday boys given some money to go and buy a present before his birthday, so he can open it on the morning. We've been involved, obviously, in buying one or two gifts for him, and it's been really difficult to steer him in the right direction, make sure he doesn't buy something that he's already going to get. The gifts are already his, but they've been hidden away in our bedroom somewhere. I hope Gabby knows where. They are his. They've been hidden. He can't see them yet. And we hear these amazing truths about our lives being united with Jesus, about being washed clean, about a fresh start, about eternal joy and bliss. But we can't see it. We don't always feel it. Sin has lost its power over us, but it is still there, isn't it? We still say things we wish we didn't. We still hurt people we wish we couldn't. We have spiritually died with Christ, but we still face death in this life. Suffering still comes. You cut and we still bleed and we still hurt. We think we need to get what we already have. We don't need to try and obtain it. It is ours already. Our lives are hidden with Christ. And Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him. Not in tattered rags, not by the skin of your teeth. What does it say? Appear with him in glory, radiant and bright and new. Standing before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, in royal robes I don't deserve, washed by the Lamb, in a new creation where all is bright and all we will know is light and life. We don't see it today, but one day we will. Today we see clouds. We feel snow at the moment. We see clouds, but the sun always shines. We see clouds around us, but our life is safe, it is hidden, and one day we will see who we truly are. One day you will see who you truly are in Jesus Christ. When he appears, when your life appears. Paul says elsewhere, now we see but through a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. The American pastor D.L. Moody once said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it? At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that is, out of all of this clay tenement, into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. 150 years on, D.L. Moody is in the ground, but he is with Christ. Forever with Christ. Brothers and sisters, your life is with Christ. Died with him, risen with him, hidden with him. So Colossians 3 verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, if your life is with Christ, if your life is Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on Christ. In the days leading up to Christmas, we had one or two gifts under our tree. And we have three young children in our house. Do you know where they went each day? Right to the bottom of the tree. Poking them, rattling them, smelling them, prodding them, feeling them, weighing them. They couldn't, whatever you end up doing that day, they'd always spend some time going back to that tree. Or take our dog, Ransom. We bought him a bone. He loves his bone. He can smell his bone because he's a dog. He would be snuggled up with us as we watched a movie or as we played a game. But every now and then he would just carry himself off. And he would go to his little corner of the house, and we'd hear this little woof. And then he'd start whining. I won't do that, it's too high. And then he'd start barking until we went to him in his area, and we'd find him there, sat very nicely, very neatly, looking up at his bone, longing for his bone. He had set his mind on his bone, and he couldn't stay away from it. He kept going back to it. He knew where it was. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. What are the things above? Well, verse 1, it is where Christ is. He's not below. He's not dead. He lives. He is the risen one. Christ, who we're going to say later on, is supreme in all things. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus, the one through whom and for whom all things exist, were created, the one who is before all things and in whom all things hold together. The head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have the supremacy. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Far above all thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Seated in his sovereignty, just like the future king of Denmark will sit on his new throne in just over a week's time. Jesus seated victorious, enthroned as king of Psalm 110, ruling over all creation. Seated because he has finished his work. Nothing more to be done, nothing for you or me to add. Set your minds on things above. Goes without saying that means not on things below, right? It means not the things of the earth, verse 2. I look down at verse 5, Paul spells out what he means. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. Don't look down, look up. We can't set our sights, our gaze, our minds on Christ and on sin at the same time. That daytime fantasy that you have, that you let your mind wander to, or jealousy for the thing that your friend has, whether that is their looks or their sense of humour or their job or their relationship, set your minds on things above, on Jesus. We sometimes call people who don't yet trust Jesus seekers. If that is you here tonight, it is great that you're here. We love having you here. We are running a seekers course on the 15th of January. It'd be great to see you there. We're going to watch a video about that later on. But the picture here is of a Christian being a seeker. Seek the things that are above. We're to seek Jesus. It's not seeking him because we don't have it yet. I don't know if you read about the wedding ring that was lost in the Ritz Hotel in Paris just before Christmas. Worth millions, this ring. And there was a team that diligently searched through the whole of the hotel. They were rummaging through sofas and cushions, through the laundry. It was eventually found in the hotel's trash can. It had been vacuumed up by an overly zealous vacuum cleaner. You and I don't need to try and recover what we have in Jesus. We don't need to try and search to get it and make sure it is ours. We already have him. Your life is with Christ. He is your life. And we don't need to seek him because he's difficult to see. The James Webb telescope was launched about 2 years ago at Christmas time. It's been great looking at the images of this unbelievably vast universe. This is not like searching for a new star in the night sky. When it comes to Jesus, that is not what we are talking about. We are not guessing, we are not searching, we are not making assumptions. Yes, our minds are dull. Yes, there is no part of his glory that we can fully comprehend. But his glory set out for you and me in the very words of God is clear. It is plain. It is direct. Christ portrayed, set forth, told to us, proclaimed to us as crucified, exalted, glorified. Setting our minds on him, seeking him, it looks like having a great passion for him, an urgency for him, a hunger for him, because he is so much greater. It is a daily seeking after him, constantly looking up. We went to Innsbruck in Austria for a couple of days over the summer. It's a beautiful city surrounded by mountains in a valley. And your eyes are constantly drawn to the mountain peaks. And no matter where you are, there's always a peak to see. Seek the things above. Christ is the mountaintop to which our gaze should be constantly directed. It is a passionate seeking after him. They set their affections. We are to set our affections on him. Hunger after him. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you in a dry and dusty land. But it is also, verse 2, set your minds on things above. This is a state of knowing. A renewed mind that is focused on Jesus. A mind that says, no matter what the clouds are that I see around me, no matter what my circumstances are, I know that my Redeemer lives. A mind that reasons with itself, that thinks through the logic of this. A mind that knows deeply that my life is with Jesus. I could tell you of a high-flying friend in the corporate world who was offered a promotion to senior management and the salary to match. But as he was thinking about whether he should accept the offer or not, he fixed his eyes on Jesus. He thought of the added travel that comes with the job offer, thought about how that would keep him away from his family. He thought about how the pressure of managing hundreds of people would add to him and take away from his energy and affect his time that he had to serve his church family. And so he decided to turn the promotion down because he had his mind set on Jesus. I could tell you many stories of people going through hard times. A widow lonely and grieving but looking to Jesus. Learning that he is always with her. A young mum going through criminal proceedings against the father of their child. Looking to Jesus, knowing that God cares about her and her son. That he cares about justice. That he will never abandon her. A friend who had just graduated, about to start a law career with one of the top law firms in the whole world, engaged to be married, diagnosed with leukemia, fixing his eyes on Jesus, knowing the life that he has in Jesus, with Jesus, even as cancer and chemo wrecks his body. John Owen, the old English pastor, wrote this: "Reckon in your minds that this beholding of the glory of Christ, by beholding the glory of God and all his properties in him, is the greatest privilege whereof in this life we can be made partakers. Herein would I live, herein would I die, hereon would I dwell in my thoughts and affections to the withering and consumption of all the painted beauties of this world. It is saying to myself, whatever I might have in this life, whoever I might think that I am, whatever I'm hoping for this year, it pales into eternal insignificance compared to Jesus Christ. To my life in Jesus, with Jesus. He is my life. That is what we should be like. Set your minds on things above. So let me ask you, as we start this year, what do you set your mind on? Where did your gaze keep drifting to? There's a phrase that we have in English, that someone is so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly use. So focused on things above that they forget to love people around them, to live in the here and now. I don't think that's our problem. I don't know about you. I think I'm the opposite. I'm too often so earthly minded that I am of no heavenly use. We fill our minds with so many different things. A few years ago, a friend made a short video called If Phones Were Bibles. You can get the picture. It follows someone through their day. They wake up in bed, the alarm is going off, and instead of reaching for their phone, they're surrounded by three Bibles, and they try and pick the Bible up. He is pouring a coffee, and instead of scrolling through his phone, he's reading his Bible. He's driving his car, and instead of looking down at his phone, never do that, he's reading his Bible. It is a silly video, but it makes a good point. How much of your day is spent on your phone screen? And how much is spent on your Bible? Set your minds on things above. How can you do that? How can you set your mind on Christ tomorrow? Or this coming week? Last week we were memorizing Psalm 23 as a family. Just a few minutes at breakfast, saying it a few times together, talking about how it changes our day ahead, praying it through together. Set your minds on things above. Just imagine the difference that would make to your 2024. That disappointment, which at any other time might have rocked you, but not this year. Because you haven't set your hope on that thing, you set it on Jesus. You kept your eyes on him, so instead of despair, you lean on him in the disappointment and in the tears, and you see that he never leaves you, he always loves you, he carries you safely through. Or those dark nights when you've felt condemned, weighed down by your sin. Those times when in the past you'd have run from God, tried to hide, run away from other people, felt their eyes judging you. But not this year, because you have set your mind on him. And you know that no matter how big your sin, his mercy is more. He will never turn you away. A year where instead of taking one step forward and two steps back in your fight against sin, this year you set your mind on Jesus. You've been captured by a better vision. You've learned to love him. So you put off the old self and you put on the new, and you can see him at work in you, changing you, remaking you, changing the things that you love, the things you desire, the things you choose, the things you do, renewing you day by day in his image. A year when instead of being too afraid to speak, you actually share the hope and the comfort that Jesus offers when your friend is going through a breakup or is grieving, because you set your mind on Jesus. A year when you feel more secure and more loved, more accepted, where you actually make it along to home group and your friendships flourish, where the security and the safety of knowing that your life is in Jesus drives away fear, when satisfaction expels greed and joy becomes the hallmark of your character, where you hold your head up high and with each step forward, you know you're one step closer to home and seeing your Savior face to face. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one you need more than Jesus. No greater treasure than Jesus. If you have died with him, risen with him, if your life is with him, if every single benefit of his is yours, if he is your life, set your mind on him. Look to him. And before long, just a little longer, we will be with him forever. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are humbled by everything you give us in Jesus. We thank you that as we remember he came at Christmas, that he died for us, that he is risen. Father, we thank you that our lives are with him when we trust him. And we ask that this year, 2024, would be a year when each one of us learns to look to him. Father, would you fill our mind's eye, our thoughts, our loves, our desires this year with Jesus? Father, help us to set our minds on things above. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.